Read a few verses here, and I want to read from verse 1, Exodus chapter 30, verse 1, and then I want to skip to verse 6 and read a few verses there for as an introduction. And the Lord is speaking to Moses, and this is what he has told Moses. In verse 1 he says, "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon of shittim wood, shalt thou make it." And we go down to verse 6, and it says, where is to place this altar? "And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. An horn shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning." Oh, forgive me. "When he dresses the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at eve, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offerings, nor shall ye pour drink offering thereon. An horn shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year, with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "When I take the..." Now, sorry, I shouldn't have read that verse. Sorry, I went too far. Can we just... we'll just leave it for there now, and we'll ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you again for this opportunity that we have of coming so boldly, Lord, into your house.
Yes.
And into your presence, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, tonight you'll help us just as we come round your word. We ask your Holy Spirit will come, and Lord, that you'll be the teacher, and Lord, you'll just speak to your people, Lord, and give us something tonight that'll help us and encourage us. And grant that our coming together tonight, Lord, will be as incense in your nostrils, Lord, in Jesus' name. And grant, Lord, that you'll be able to bless everything that's said and done here. And Lord, that it'll bring glory and honor to your holy name, and it will bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. I'm sorry for, I'd written down where to stop and I didn't do it, but I should have stopped at verse 10. And also, I tell you, I have a page full of chapters and verses here tonight. And maybe I don't want to just go from one scripture to the other, but you know, somebody said it's all the word of God. But, you know, thinking about incense, and I've written down here that incense and prayer goes together.
Amen.
Incense and prayer goes hand in hand. And you know, that goes way back till the time of Moses here. And Moses got the law, and then he got the instructions about the tabernacle. And then when he gets the instructions about the tabernacle, he gets instructions about the holy place and the most holy place. And then there's instructions what's in the holiest of holiest, that's behind the veil now.
Amen.
And behind the veil, if I can recall or remember rightly, you had the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, you had Aaron's rod that budded. And you had a pot of the manna that came from heaven. And then on top of the Ark, you had the mercy seat. And the mercy seat had the two cherubims that faced each other. And that's the place where the Lord said he would meet with thee. He said, I'll meet with you there at that mercy seat. And, you know, without getting into a whole controversy tonight, some people can never agree with this altar of incense was to be placed. Because we have read here, now I don't want to be ministering questions tonight, but if you didn't watch yourself, that's what you could do, very easy. We have read that this altar of incense was to be placed in verse 6. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. Now that there is important. Now, if you don't get anything out of what I'm trying to say here tonight, get this out of it. When Aaron went in there, he went in under full expectation that God was going to meet with him.
Amen.
And he was going to meet with God. He went in there under full expectation. He never went in there one time that he didn't expect God to come down and God to come on the scene. He never went in there any time in his experience as a high priest that he wasn't fully assured that God was going to be there. Why, that's the Old Testament. That's the covenant that was done away with. That's the covenant that wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. For if it had been perfect, it would have remained.
Yes, I know.
But even though it wasn't perfect, God was still there. And when Aaron would go in with the blood, God was going to meet with him.
Amen.
That's something. That is something, isn't it?
Amen.
That is supernatural. That is God confirming his word. That is God coming on the scene. God says, you come to meet me, I'll meet with you. I'll meet with you there. Where was he going to meet with him? He was going to meet with him at the mercy seat. You know the modern day name for the mercy seat? We were singing it. It's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is the mercy seat. Why is he the mercy seat? Because outside of him, there is no mercy.
Amen.
Outside of Christ, there's no mercy.
That's right.
Now, I believe that mercy is available while Jesus is available.
Amen.
And I believe if a man or a woman can get to Jesus, they're getting to mercy.
Amen.
You know, somebody said that this... Now, it's all here, you know, if I would read it, and maybe it's in front of me, and sometimes someone's in front of you and you can't see it. You're looking at it, but you don't see it. Somebody said one time a man couldn't see the trees for he was too busy looking at the wood. Another man said, no, he was looking at the wood and he missed the trees. Same. Do you understand? I shouldn't have said that. That's a nice one. But I want you to notice something here about Aaron. Aaron gets detailed instructions.
Amen.
And Aaron's job, when he went into that altar of incense, he was to burn sweet incense upon it. And I know it's in here somewhere. Well, I don't know. I'm a terrible man. You need to forgive me about this. But look, first of all, we'll take it. Where Aaron's coming in here in verse 7. Thanks, Tommy. Aaron's coming in verse 7, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. So there it was every morning whenever Aaron would go in there to dress. Now he's going in to dress the lamps. He's not going in to light them. He's going in to make preparation that they can be lit. You know, God's people sometimes need a bit of preparation before they get lit. You light them too soon, I'm not lost. Yes. They need the wicks set. They need all the stuff cleaned out.
Yes.
And then they can be lit. And whenever the light will be far brighter.
Yes.
Now, every morning, Arne would go in to dress them lamps. Every morning. And every morning he would go in there, he was under orders to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, I'm saying not because, you know, I believe there's a link, and I said it at the start, and you know, you might say, oh, John, I don't know whether that's true or not, but listen to this. It's important that you pray every morning. Now, this applies to me. This applies to my own self. I'm telling you what the Lord is trying to tell me. And you know, we know these things. I know these things. I'm not here tonight to try to tell you something you don't know. But let me say this. It's important that you start the day with prayer.
Amen. That's right.
Every morning. And you know, Arne's going in there and he's going in to dress the lamps. Now, you don't need to light a lamp in the morning. Why? It's not dark. You wouldn't go on. You don't get up in the morning. Well, these mornings it's dark. You get up early. Some boys doesn't get up too early. They maybe wouldn't. But, you know, you understand it's summertime. You're not going to light. You're not going to get up in the mornings and day of light. And you're going to have all the lights on and go to your work with the lights on your car. No, you can go with no lights. Because it's daylight. But Arne went in there and he was dressing them lamps. And he was dressing them lamps. I believe that speaks to me of sanctification.
Amen.
Sanctification. Anything that wasn't there, wasn't right, was took away. And you know, he examined the lamps. He addressed the lamps. He was dressing them. He was dressing them. He was getting them ready. He was getting them ready for the fire. You know, if you don't get the wrong, if you get the wrong dressing, you're never going to light. If you get the wrong instruction, you'll never get the fire lit. You'll never have the anointing. And you'll never have the true light, the light that you should have. You might have a bit of a light, but you might have the full light. You'll be driving on the dip when you should be on the main beam. So he goes in there, but he's burning this incense. And you know, I believe with that incense, I say it represents prayer. Really, I really believe that. I believe,
Amen.
And we'll see some scriptures where people were burning incense, and while they were burning the incense, the congregation was praying. People were seeking the Lord. And here Arne gets that instruction for to get in there in the morning, every morning, and dress the lamps. And burn the incense. You know, it's good to get out of the bed in the morning and start dressing your lamp.
Amen.
You know, the foolish virgin had the lamp, but she had oil in the lamp and she had no oil in the vessel. I tell you, we need to be checking our lamps.
Amen.
I believe God wants us to keep a check on the lamp and keep it, keep the lamp dressed. Keep it ready. Ready to go.
Amen.
You know, the Lord could come tonight.
Yes.
He could come tomorrow morning. You know, whenever you're dressed with the robes of righteousness, you're ready to go.
Amen.
There's nothing more you need when you get dressed by the Holy Ghost. There's nothing more you need when you have you're dressed and the incense is going up on your behalf.
Amen.
I believe there's nothing more you need.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing we know, and when Arne lighteth the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. So he's back in the evening time and he's lighting the light. Now, this sounds really silly, but it's true. Why do you light the light at night or night? Why do you light the light in the evening? Because it's dark. Because there's more darkness. Now, what did Isaiah the prophet say? He said, it shall come to pass in the evening time that there shall be light.
Amen.
But let me say this, and I don't want you to pick it up the wrong way. There's more darkness now. There's more darkness now. But just because there's more darkness in the world doesn't mean that God's people are in darkness. God's people are not in darkness. God's people have got the light of life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's people have got the light of life. I don't care how dark the world is. God's people has got a light. Hallelujah. And they've got a light and they see a light is shining.
Amen.
You know what they're saying? It must be near home time. You know, there's a wee chorus about that guy, but I can't remember the key of the tune. Or I see a light is shining, it must be near home time. And so, in the evening, Aaron comes in and he lights the lights. You know, whenever he comes in to light them lights, he doesn't have to start working at them. They're ready to go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm glad that God can get you ready to go.
Amen.
I'm glad that God can have you sitting in such a way it'll only take one spark to light you.
Amen.
The Bible says the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So I don't care how gross the darkness is. And I believe myself that there's more demons in hell loose at this present time than there has been any other age. I believe there's more sickness tonight, isn't there? There's more disease tonight. There's more suicides tonight. There's more loneliness tonight. There's more fret. There's more anxiety tonight. There's more powers of darkness being manifested. There's more open witches.
Right. Amen.
There's more sodomites. Isn't it true? More darkness. More filth on the internet. More filth on the television. You know, it's an awful thing for me to stand here tonight and say this, but I'm going to say this to you. I can remember the television coming to the farm. Now, I don't know the exact date. It's a good while ago. Most of you in here was never born at the time. It was 1960, if it wasn't 1959. That is true. That's when it came to the farm. You say, well, John, sure, that's not relevant. No, but what I wanted to say to you was, gradually, what was on it became worse and worse. Gradually, what was on that TV became worse and worse. And I can remember watching it when I was maybe 8 or 9 years old. Now, I maybe had more sense then than I should have had. But I remember watching a program on it, and I want to go over this quickly, but there was a man woman down there. I don't know what the show was, but the man and woman started to kiss each other, and I can remember turning my head away and wouldn't look at it. That is true. And you might say, why? Because I hadn't seen anything like that, and I was embarrassed to look at it. I was embarrassed to look at a man and woman kissing on TV, and that was must have been in the early 60s, maybe 61 or 2. And I can remember that. Sure, you don't come over now what you can see on it. It's the boldness of sin.
That's right.
The devil got his best foot forward, somebody said, when he got the TVs in. But the man said to me one time, and it's true, you know, there's a switch on it, you can switch it off. You can switch it off. It can be useful for the news. It can be useful for information sometimes. And also you can play some good things on it. You can bring up Brother Branham on it, and you can bring up a lot of good preachers on YouTube. It can be good, if you know. But I'm going on. Listen, even though there's gross darkness in the world tonight, and more darkness maybe, God's people still have the light.
Amen.
God's people still have the light. But there's Aaron coming in again in the evening time, and he's lighting the light. And what's he doing again when he lights that light? He's burning incense upon it. And verse 8, and when Aaron lighteth the lamps at eve, he shall burn incense upon it a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Now listen what he says in verse 9. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. And then, I just want you to notice that. You see this incense? There's nothing else like it. It's a one-off. Any incense will not do. This was special. This was specially made. This was a special composition which the Lord showed Moses. And he related to Aaron how to make this incense. And you weren't to offer any strange incense. You see, tonight, there's people and they're coming. They say they're coming to the presence of the Lord. Why, some of the things they're singing, you couldn't sing them. Now, you might say, John, you're old-fashioned. But now, going back to TV, you all know there's a Christian program on the television. Now, some things on it there are very good, and there's other things on it. You know, there's something, I remember turning it on once, and I started to watch it. Now, three to 4 minutes done me. I said, that's enough, that's, turn that off, that's rock and roll. And you know, it was all together. I says, how long would you need to listen to that to meet with the Lord? How long would you have to listen to that before the Lord would come in the room, or you would be able to say, I can feel the power of God, I can feel the presence of God, I believe this is incense. You know, I said incense is prayer, but it's also, I believe, worship. Real worship is a form of incense tonight. And these people are there, and they're making a lot of noise. You know, people making a lot of noise doesn't necessarily mean they're worshiping the Lord. People making a lot of noise doesn't necessarily mean they're in spirit and in truth. And Jesus said the Father's day will come whenever they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. But you know what I believe it has become? There's more of this strange incense in the world tonight than what there was whenever Moses penned these words. The incense that's being offered is strange.
Yes,
it's not the original. It's not the genuine article. Now, you know, I need you to help me now, because I'm trying to read you from verse 34, and it's the same chapter, Exodus chapter 30, from verse 34 down to verse 38. And you know, I was practicing reading these words. I was reading them out of a different Bible, and the words just broke up a bit. And I thought I had them mastered. And then I came to this Bible here, which I try to use when I'm preaching sometimes. And it's a bit different again. And, you know, I haven't got them mastered. I'm ashamed to say it. I should have paid more attention at school. But in verse 34, I believe this is the instructions that the Lord gave to Moses, and Moses passed this on to Aaron, and this was how to get this incense, or this oil, and I believe that this is what was used. And in verse 34, we read these words, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices. And I want to say, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. That's the reason why I love him so, for Jesus is the sweetest name I know. I want to say that this sweet spice represents Christ.
Amen.
And I want to say also that I said that incense represents the prayers, but it actually represents also the one who is interceding on your behalf, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want to say he's the sweet incense tonight. I want to say there's nothing else like him. Now, let me rephrase that. You were to become like Christ. This Bible is full of scriptures that tells you that you are the temple of the living God and that Christ lives in you. Now, if Christ is living in you, you're going to be like him. But when we say there's nothing like Christ, we mean that there was only one man ever who was born without sin.
Amen.
And that man was the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was he born without sin, it was impossible for him to sin because he had received the Spirit without measure, and he was God in a man.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, there was only one Lord Jesus Christ. God had many sons, but God had only one begotten Son, full of grace and full of truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, whenever Satan tempted him, Satan was wasting his time. But the Lord, God allowed him to be tempted to let Satan see that he wasn't going to be defeated. That's the Jesus you serve. That's the Jesus you serve. And I believe this is right. He's sweet. He's sweeter than honey off the comb.
Amen.
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Right.
He's the altogether lovely one.
Amen.
Now, we're going to read about him, and I have maybe missed it, but there's a verse in here somewhere, and it tells you that it has to be beaten. Small. Has to be beaten small. The Lord said unto Moses, verse 34, take unto thee sweet spices, secta. Is that, am I right? No. Secta. And onata. And galbanum. Now that's not, I know rightly I'm not saying them words right. I'm sure Tommy, you're good at reading them. I've heard you reading them. You're good. I'm no good at reading them. But look, you know what I'm trying to say. And these is the real sweet spices. And with pure frankincense.
Amen.
Of which there shall be a like weight. Now there's the recipe. The same amount. Not too much of this, or not too much of that. Oh boy, if we could preach like that.
Amen.
If we could get the balance into what we're trying
Amen.
To say, we wouldn't offend anybody, and we'd edify everybody, and the saints would be built up, and the sinners would be convicted.
Amen.
If we could get the right weight. Not, don't go overboard in this, don't go overboard in that, but stay with the right measurement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Just you let it come together and start to temper it, and you know, oh boy, it's real, you know. And you see, he's got the instructions here, and he says, and thou shalt make it a perfume. A confection after the art of the no, I can't do it.
Apothecary.
That's a chemist, is it? A souvenir like one of them boys that, or one of them women you see, and they're standing there and they need a bottle of perfume, and it's only that size, but it's £100. But no, this is perfume.
Yes, right.
This is perfume. This is a sweet smell and savour. And you know, I mightn't just get the words right, but I want you to get some of the ingredients there. You can look up them ingredients, and you can look at this, and thou shalt beat some of it very small. Who was beaten? By his stripes ye were healed.
Amen.
beaten very small. We'll not have this man to rule over us. Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And we know the Lord was beaten. We know he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Now listen what it says about this perfume. About the, some of us going to be beaten very small. And put it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation where I will meet with thee. It shall be unto you most holy. Now there isn't anything else like it. There's nothing else can take its place. And it goes right in there to the mercy seat. It goes right in there to the Ark of the Covenant. It goes right in there to that place where God is going to meet with you. Where the Lord wants to come down and meet with Aaron and wants to meet with God's people and tell them and give them instructions. Now listen to listen what also it says. That this here is most holy with you. And in verse 37, and as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord.
Amen.
So this here stuff's not to be wasted. It's not to be took lightly. It's not to be threw around you, as it were. You're not to have it for yourself. This is for the Lord.
Amen.
This is for God. This is for the holy place. This is not for anybody. You know, a man said a thing the other day. Somebody said, oh, I don't remember who it was. It was R.W. Schambach. He said, you know, you don't tell the ungodly people everything. And the Bible says that. Jesus said, you don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn again and rent you, or lest they trample them in the muck. This is not for everybody. And you're not to have it for yourself. There wasn't to have it for yourself. And listen to what it says in verse 38. It says, whosoever shall make like unto that, to smell thereto, even he shall even be cut off. From his people. So if somebody wants to try to make this here perfume and keep it for themselves, they were to be cut off from the people.
Yes.
Amen. I'll tell you, God's a holy God.
Amen.
God's a holy God. And this here oil or this ointment, this perfume was to be holy, and it was to be holy for the Lord.
Amen.
It wasn't to be holy for anybody. Holy Amen. For the Lord. Now I'm taking up a lot of time. I don't know where the time is went. I need a move. I want you to just turn with me quickly and, I maybe should have tried to say something a bit more on that, but listen, if you turn to Leviticus chapter 16, and if you really started to get into this, about this incense and about this, and I know Tommy did cover these things a few years back, but there's so much stuff. It's hard to just bring it into one service or bring it and you know, I'm not qualified to say, right, I'm a teacher, I'm going to do this, I'm going to show you that, I'm going to show you something. No, I'm not saying that tonight. I just want to have a quick look at it. But in Leviticus chapter 16, and I think it's verse 12, we're going to read a few more words here. And if I can just find it. No, we'll read verse 11. And verse 11, this is about Aaron, and he's going into the presence of the Lord, and he's going in to make an atonement. Now, did anyone hear the news back on the 10th of October? Now, I could be wrong when I say this, but there was an attack made on a Jewish synagogue in Germany on the 10th of October, and there's a man outside the Jewish synagogue, and he had got out of a car, and he had got a shotgun or a rifle. I think it was a shotgun. He started firing off shots at random, and the news reporters said that it was the Jewish Day of Atonement. I don't know for sure if it was or not. And there was a man, showed a picture of a man. He opened the boot of his car and he brought out a gun. But this lamp looked like a double-barreled shotgun to me, but they didn't show a close-up. And he started firing shots. And they said it was Yom Kippur in the Jewish calendar. Now, that was the 10th, that was the 9th of the 10th of October. And I meant to go back and try and hear the news again for that day, but I never done it, you know. But I dare say if you went on the internet, you could put in that date or put in Yom Kippur. But we know it was a Day of Atonement. And you know, this here now, we're reading now, and this is the Day of Atonement here. We're Aaron's going in to make an atonement. And you know, that brazen altar, that altar of incense, whenever Aaron went in there, he went in once in the year to make an atonement, and he would put the blood upon the horns of that altar. And he would make an atonement, first of all, for himself. And you know, I'm a great believer, if we're going to pray for somebody, we need to pray for ourselves first. And you need to try to get yourself in a standing with God and try and say, Lord, forgive me. I think I've sorted that out, Lord. And now I want to pray for brother so-and-so. I want to pray for sister so-and-so. Or I want to pray for that man. Or I want to pray for that woman. But let me read the verses here, because the time is slipping on. And verse 11 of Leviticus chapter 16, verse 11, we read these words. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Now I want you to notice that it's all, this is for himself. He has to get himself right. Thank God Jesus hadn't to make any offering for himself.
Amen.
He never made one for himself, but he made it for me, and he made it for you.
Amen.
He made it for the sins of this world. Hallelujah. But we see this high priest here, and the first thing he has to do, he has to get himself right. He has to make an atonement, and he has to come with the blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. And he has to have a bullock without blemish for the sin offering. And then in verse 12, listen to what he does in verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. You know what I see here? I see a man that has got fire. I see a man that has got anointing. And I see a man that gets the two together, and when he gets the fire together and he gets this ointment, this anointing together, there's something happens. Something comes over the mercy seat. Something comes over the Ark of the Covenant, and something goes round the cherubims, and he doesn't die. Hallelujah. You know, whenever you get a little fire and you get a little anointing and it starts to ascend up to heaven, and heaven opens and God comes down and he starts to communicate with you, and you're communicating with him, you're not going to die, but you're going to live. Boy,
amen.
I believe this.
Amen.
I believe it. And there's that same incense. And it's the sweet incense, and that's the stuff that was beaten.
Yes.
You know, it was cost something to get this. Yes. This is like the pearl of great price. This is like the man who sought the treasure and found it in a field, and he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. But God gave his only begotten son when he bought you and me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you see this here is a pattern, and he said that he would take He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord. If there was a time when we need fire from off the altar,
amen,
it's now.
Amen.
What's wrong today? I'll tell you what's wrong. People has no fire. They've lost the fire. And you know what else? They don't want the fire. I could be wrong, but they don't seem to want the fire. I believe we need the fire.
Amen.
I believe we need the incense. We need this.
Amen.
We need this anointing. We need this worship. We need this truth. And we need to get in there where we know we're right in the presence of God. And you know, whenever Aaron would go in there, God had made him a promise that he was going to meet him there. It's going to happen. You know, whenever you saw him going in, and you know, I'm taking up too much time, but you know yourself, whenever he would go in, he didn't go in any old way. First thing he done, he got himself washed. You got washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
That's the first step. Get yourself washed. He got himself washed. Then when he got himself washed, he got rid of the old clothes. And he got on the priest's garment. He got on the linen. Get on the linen breeches, the linen, the coat, the everything, the mitre, everything, the linen.
Amen.
Got the linen on, mm-hmm, to go in there. And when you go in there with the blood, hallelujah, he was a candidate for going right into the presence of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, you know, maybe a bit mixed up tonight, but listen, I want to move on. I'm taking on a lot of time now. I said earlier that I believe there's a connection between incense and prayer, and the Lord willing, we'll read a couple of scriptures and we'll go to that. It's 25 till 9 with me almost. Is that, am I right? It's half 8. I've took the time, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm just going to read you some scriptures here. There's a scripture I want to read to you. You know, it's wonderful too, because I've written down a lot of scriptures, and I must have left them at home, and maybe it was of the Lord to bring too many. Luke chapter 1, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Luke chapter 1, and what's Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, what's he doing? He's in the temple. Mm-hmm. And when he's in the temple, what was his job in there? His job was to burn incense. And I believe, now I may be wrong, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but his job was to burn incense upon this altar of incense. And when Solomon would build the temple, and did build the temple, I believe the vessels that was in that tabernacle in the wilderness was brought into the temple. And it's quite a possibility that this is the very same altar that Aaron burnt incense on. Now, it may have been, it may not have been, but if it wasn't the very same one, it was made exactly the same. And it looked exactly. And the Lord said to Moses, "See that thou make everything according to the pattern that was showed you in the Holy Mount whenever he met with God." Now, I'm taking up a lot of time. I need to read, I think it's verse 7. I'll read from verse 7. I'll just read on down here, because I've written down verses 8 till 11. Well, I'll read verses 8 till 11. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot," verse 9, "his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense."
Amen.
So there's your incense and there's your prayer meeting. Incense and the prayer meeting went hand in hand. And here Zechariah goes in there, and his lot is to burn incense in the temple. And I believe he probably on this very same altar that Aaron started with, and he's got this incense, and he's got the coal of fire with him, and it's the fire from off the altar, and he's burning the incense. And you know, he has done this hundreds of times. But this day, he got up this morning, and it was just like any other morning. He didn't have the calendar marked. He wasn't saying, oh, this is going to be different today. No, he wasn't. He just continued to burn the incense. He had dressed the lamps properly, and he has getting the things ready, and he's burning the incense here. And it says in verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. I tell you, things started to change then. Oh boy, this angel comes down with a message, and he tells him he's going to send John the Baptist. And he says, I'm an old man. He didn't say, I didn't ask you what age you were. I told you what God's going to do. And I'm now sent from the presence of the Lord to tell you this. Hallelujah. Boy, I think that's tremendous. And didn't it happen again? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zechariah was speechless, and the angel said, you'll not be able to speak or talk until it's fulfilled, because you have doubted, you have disbelieved. But boy, that was some day, wasn't it?
Amen.
Zechariah comes out and he can't talk, and the people wondered at him because he beckoned unto them, and he remained speechless. But boy, you see, the angel was standing right beside the altar. Yes. I tell you, the devil wasn't there.
Amen.
Now, he might have been there at the start, but I believe he left. I believe when the angel came in, he went out. Hallelujah. And you know, have to move on. Now, there's a wee verse here, and it's maybe not in keeping with it, it's maybe not exactly with it, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And thank you for your patience tonight. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8. And I want to read also from Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I want to tell you tonight, there's a record of every prayer you've ever prayed. God's keeping a book. God's keeping a book, and he has a record of your prayers. And these 24 elders fall down before the throne, and they've got incense. Oh, hallelujah. And they fall down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. They've got a song, and they've got a harp.
Amen.
And they've got golden veils full of odors. I tell you, they're the sweet odors that comes right into the nostrils of a holy God. And there's an atmosphere. When you have an odor, there's an atmosphere. Now, the women's going to say, John, there's something wrong with you. But listen, it has happened to me that I have walked into a shop, and there's some woman, I'd never known her, I didn't look at her, thank the Lord. I wasn't looking, but she walked past, and she was wearing perfume. And I said to myself, now that's not bad. For I tell you, I have to buy the wife some of that stuff and some of it. I tell her to leave the room when she's going to use it. I'm not joking you. I say, if you're going to use that, you'll have to leave the room. That's what it's like. But I have been in places where somebody has walked past, and you know, you'd be prosecuted if you stopped somebody and said, hey girl, where'd you get that perfume? I need that for the wife. Or else you'd get a slap in the face. And if you did, do you no harm? But these angels, you know, God's in perfume.
Yes.
You said, John, you went off the rails. No, he's not in lipstick, but he believes he's in perfume. Praise the Lord, you know your prayers is heard tonight.
Amen.
They're not only heard, I believe there's a record of them. Now listen to verse Revelation chapter 8 and verse, it's verse 3. And this is the opening of the seventh seal. He has opened the seventh seal and then he's telling what's happening. And you know, I'm not here to say, oh, I know, because I don't know tonight, but listen to verse, I'll read you verse 2, and it says, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them was given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar. Hallelujah. Having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which is before the throne. Hallelujah! You know, whenever Aaron went into that holy place, he was offering, and there was a cloud came up and went over the mercy seat and went over the Ark of the Covenant. But here's this angel, and where's his cloud gone over? Or where's his incense covering? Or where's the prayers gone? Right into the throne of God.
Amen.
Right into the satanic glory. Right into the very presence of God. Right into the holiest of holiest. Into the highest place that heavens afford. That's where Jesus is tonight.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Right. You know, You know, sometimes we pray and we maybe don't think much of our prayer. Maybe it's not a long prayer. Maybe it is a long prayer. Maybe it's a short prayer. Maybe it sounds a silly prayer. But if it's a real prayer, it's a prayer. That sounds funny, but it's true. If it's a real prayer, it's a prayer. And if it's a prayer, it's going to be here. It's going to come right into the throne room. It's going to go right into the Shekinah glory, right into the presence of Almighty God. I believe that, and it's accompanied by the fire, and it's accompanied by this anointing oil, it's accompanied by this incense, and it's a sweet smell and savour in the nostrils of God. You know, we want something that the Lord's pleased with. And I believe he's pleased with that. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry, it's a good job I'm not asked to do this all the time, because you wouldn't get a chance to pray. I'm sorry, I'm very long-winded. I'm going to read you two or three from the psalmist. The psalmist David 16 and 8. If somebody finds that, will you read it, please? Psalms chapter 16 and verse 8. I have got it myself, sorry. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's what the psalmist David said. Psalm 55 and verse 17. Somebody else, if you'll find Psalm 141 and verse 2. But Psalms 55 and verse 17. And if you find it, just go ahead and read it out, please.
Evening and morning, and at noon, like day, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Evening and morning and noon. You know, that represents the incense every morning and every evening. You know, if you can pray every morning and pray every noon and pray every evening, God's going to hear your voice. Then Psalm 141 and verse 2. And I'm sorry, I'm making you turn a lot of scriptures. Praise the Lord. Psalm 141 and it's verse 2.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know what that tells me? That tells me God's waiting to hear you pray.
Amen.
That tells me that the Lord is waiting to hear your prayer. And the psalmist David said, let it be set before thee as incense. You know, whenever that incense went up, the cloud came. And somebody said that, now I'm going back on myself, I'm sorry, but I'm only being a minute. Somebody said that that altar was outside the holy place. But when the priest went in to the holy place once in a year, the way into the holiest was opened. But whenever Christ went in, Hebrews 10 and 19, will somebody find that and read it? Because I know you're going to be quicker than me. But it tells us that this, that Jesus entered in, and he entered in once, and he entered in for you and me. Praise his holy name.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen. You see, tonight, that's done away with, all that stuff that we're talking about with Aaron. It's done away with. But we have boldness to enter in tonight.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm sorry, maybe it was a bit mixed up. Maybe made one or two mistakes in it. But I trust that you got something from it tonight.
Amen.
And I trust the Lord will bless you. And I'll trust you seek the fire from off the altar. And also you seek that anointing oil, that pure incense. And praise the Lord. You know, maybe, forgive me, but sure, I hope I haven't overcooked it. Time-wise, I've run away with it. I'm sorry. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to start singing and just sing us a song and let us try and worship the Lord. I'm sorry for taking such of your time tonight, but God bless you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, Gary, you can sing something, but maybe could you sing that wee one for us, or start us off, and maybe Gary, if you want to sing something, or if Tommy wants to come and say something. So also too, just to say, I really appreciate your prayers for next Sunday. I'm going over to Brother Frank Hall, and he sends his greetings to Tommy. He said to pass on his greetings to Tommy and to Brother Yule and to all the fellowship here. And I really appreciate your prayers while you go over there for to try to bring something and share something with him in the Lord. But I was going to ask you to sing that wee song, Gary. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things called impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Maybe you don't know that, Gary, do you? Sorry. And then Matthew, you don't have the machine tonight. We're stuck.
It's really one
that we believe, but I think I have one, because I have two the same. You know, and then what do you say it was, Gary?
181.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Gary, I only know the chorus myself. I'm Tom, I only know the chorus. Maybe we could only just sing the chorus.